This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast. Radiothon is now on, and we need your support. This is our one time a year that we ask you to support Joy so we can continue being a voice for the LGBTI community of Melbourne and beyond. By becoming a member, renewing your membership, or donating to Joy, you will keep out loud and proud LGBTI voices on air and on podcast, and around 50 volunteers work hard around the clock to make them available. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Then we hope you head to joy.org.au to find out how you can support us this radiothon. We still need Joy. Your voice. Your radio station.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. A big thank you to those chicks talking footy. My name is Andrew the Apprentice. This evening joining me is Mr. Tim.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. We're back together.
We are back together.
It was like I never left.
Exactly. How have you been?
I've been well.
We haven't been around on the same show for a little while.
I know, that's right. My life has been work, gym, eat, sleep.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Oh, and I had a bit of a dance on the weekend.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Very good, very good.
That's it.
On tonight's program, in a couple of weeks' time, a week and a half's time, there is a big competition happening here in Melbourne. There is a plethora of competitions through the winter, really.
Oh, there sure are.
And we've got one coming up on the across the weekend of the 19th to 21st of May. It is the Australia's inaugural pup and handler competition.
So, is this the first one? I believe it is.
Well, inaugural, yes.
It's inaugural. Is that what that word means?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
There we go.
I learned something already tonight.
So, that is happening, and we are chatting with one of the organisers of that very shortly. So if you've got a comment or a question, don't forget to get in touch right throughout tonight. Coming up very shortly here on Hide and Seek is more information, and we're going to be chatting to one of the organisers of Australia's inaugural pup and handler competition. If you have any comments or questions, get in touch. This is how you do it.
Have your say. SMS 0427 JOY 949.
Email on air at joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Uplifting, informing, empowering.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice is with you this evening, along with Mr. Tim.
Hello.
And winter is a bit of a competition hub of activity here in Melbourne. There's all sorts of competitions happening right throughout the winter. And the first one kicking off is Australia's inaugural Pup and Handler Competition. It is showcasing a week of pup-themed events and workshops to celebrate the diversity of the Australian pup play community. And joining us this evening to chat about it is Taylor. Welcome back to Hide and Seek, Taylor.
Oh, thank you.
So the inaugural Pup and Handler Competition. Is this something that happens across the globe a lot more?
Yeah, and Australia is the latest country to join the bandwagon. There's a number of countries, even this year, that's started the first one. We've got France and Italy as well.
So is there a international organisation of pup and handler competitions?
There is no formal organisation. No? We all kind of just
do your own
coexists in some form.
So I guess I'm looking at it from the perspective of international Mr. Leather, because that's kind of my frame of reference. Once you win the Australian Pup and Handler competition, do you then go on to a world stage?
Yeah, so there is an international competition that started in 2001, I believe. And, yeah, the national competition is an official feeder for that. So they'll go on to that, which this year it'll be in Dallas, Texas, I believe.
Cool.
Awesome. And when they say pup and handler, are they different handlers and different pups, or they are a pup and their handler together?
It can be both. So
really?
Technically the competition is two title holders are chosen.
Okay.
And they don't necessarily are the same pup and handler pair.
Yep.
They can be separate.
So if I'm a single little pup, I can still enter. I don't need to have a handler.
We do have single pups.
And single handlers
joining as well.
And yeah, if I'm a handler in search of a pup, I can also enter.
Yes.
Cool. So what personifies a handler?
So the easiest way is comparing it with a normal household pet dog and a human.
Okay.
So you've got the pup that personifies the dog and the handler that personifies the human.
Right. And I guess what kind of happens overseas, is it usually a pup and their handler, or is it a bit of a mix of both?
It is a bit of a mix of both.
Right.
Primarily, it is pup and handler pairs, but yes, there's no discrimination against ones that are single.
Do they usually end up falling in love, the winners?
There is a number of winners that are pairs and partners, but it's not the general trend.
Right.
So have you been able to watch on video or anything like that, other competitions that have been happening overseas?
Yeah, so there was a British documentary last year, Secret Life of Human Pups, and they had some shows of the Mr. Puppy Europe, and they followed Mr. Puppy UK. And there was an old documentary from 2002, 2003, called Pup, which followed the international pup that won that year.
Great. And so I suppose you've taken some inspiration from those sort of things and I guess other competitions?
Yeah. So it's got a lot of inspiration from other fetish title competitions and the other pup competitions while adding our own Australian twist.
So you're the executive producer of this competition.
Yes.
Did you find that your status within the community and the website that you've built and that sort of thing helped you get the ideas that you needed to put the competition together and the contacts and that sort of thing?
Oh, it's definitely helped, but wouldn't have been possible without the community itself going, yeah, we support you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd just be a crazy guy in a street corner.
And are you making some special T-shirts for the event?
There will be special t-shirts for the winners.
Right.
Because it's the inaugural one, don't quite have the funds yet.
Yep.
But there is, we do have events like raffles and that are helping raising travel funds for the winners.
Right.
And so next year's national competition will be bigger and better.
Wonderful.
So this is, as it said, it's the Australian competition,
yep.
Australian puppet handler competition. Do you have entrants from interstate?
Yes. In fact, we've got 5 entrants, 2 handlers and 3 pups, and only 2 of them are from Victoria. The other 3 are from Queensland.
Oh, wow.
So just Victoria and Queensland, none from Sydney?
They were more than welcome. We had extra spots and we did have a number of people that are like, oh, yeah, I would love to, but I've just bought a house.
Priorities.
So, yeah, priorities took over. But I'm sure next year they'll be even bigger.
And what about your judges? Where are they from?
Yeah, so we have a judge from every major PAR in the country.
What's a PAR?
It's the Pup and Handler Social Groups.
Ah.
So there's one in each state except Tasmania. And so we have a representative from each. We also have Liam, the Melbourne rubber man.
Great.
And Sir Justin, he's our international guest. He also helps run the international competitions overseas.
Gosh, you've got some big names.
Yes.
Big names in the room.
And what is the criteria for this competition? What are people being measured against?
That is a really hard and good question. Because unlike other fetish competitions that could have a focus on gear or popularity, as a lot of people would see them as, pups and handlers makes it even harder, because that's like going, oh, who should win, leather or rubber?
Oh, you couldn't
have a competition like that, because the debate will take forever.
Yep.
So the pup and handler competition is more of a focus on expressing yourself and being able to be a representative of the community and its values of expressing yourself and protecting individuality. Instead of going, oh, you must do it like this and you must do it like that.
Right. Like,
to create the environment that's safe for anyone to explore themselves. And
So how we, just if we have a quick, in the leather competitions, as, you know, as Tim said, which is generally our point of reference, often there's the, you know, intro and a bit of a speech type thing.
And
then
there's the gear.
Then they do some gear, a jock strap, and then they do, a funny thing or a fantasy thing or something like that. What are the sort of the stages or the parts of the evening that are going to be happening on this on the main competition night?
Yeah. So there is definitely some similarities. There are speeches and there are interviews. Some key things that are missing, like a gear
round.
Yep. A gear round, as gear's nice, but especially in the pup and handler community, it's not important.
Right.
And, yeah, they're getting judged on their attitude, you know, before and during the events, how they do well in the community. Some fun rounds, show their talents and how they would express themselves in a scene that they're put into impromptu.
So you could turn up to the competition as an entrant without any gear on at all?
You wouldn't need.
You could be completely in the
flesh. Not even a hood or anything like that?
You wouldn't need to.
Wow.
Gosh. Great.
Really, the only necessity is being there and, well, living in Australia.
I can understand why this type of kink, if you will, is quite accessible for many.
Very.
Because there aren't these rigid requirements where you must spend hundreds of dollars on leather gear or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely a kink that has in its core a sense of constant evolution and change, which means that there are no set rules other than common sense.
Awesome.
We are chatting to Taylor about the Australia's inaugural pup and handler competition. It's a big weekend happening between the 19th and the 21st of May. We're going to have a lot more details very soon here on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Fireball.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew and Tim are with you. We're chatting with Taylor about the Australia's inaugural pup and handler competition. The main competition night is happening on Saturday, the 20th of May from 6 p.m. at the 86 in Smith Street, Fitzroy. And Taylor, you said you've got a heap of judges from around the country and also competitors, pups and handlers from both Victoria and Queensland. Do you have a... you probably can't declare this. Do you have a favourite?
Are you allowed to have
Are you allowed to have a favourite?
Well, I'm not judging, so... but no, I don't actually have a favourite.
And as we've chatted about on the program before, I mean, the pup community, you know, it's very diverse, but I'm sure that the community is well and truly getting on board behind this.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a vast majority.
Fantastic. So it's looking for, like, a great night. But it's not just the night, though, is it? There's a whole range of things happening throughout the week.
Yeah.
So you've got... on the Friday, you've got a pup social outing.
Yeah, so that one is we do have a few free events. That is one of them, and it's a group of pups will get together in public appropriate gear if they want to, and we will walk around the city and take pictures outside landmarks and that for their own enjoyment.
Awesome. So you're going to be going to Fed Square?
Yes.
And then that evening, you've got a meet and greet happening over at Eagle. So, you know, just get to know everyone.
Yeah, just so everyone can get to meet the judges and the contestants on, you know, first time. And that'll be when the judging actually first starts.
Ah, yes. Okay. So very good. All the competitors need to be on their best behaviour.
Yes.
Then across Saturday, you've got a heap of workshops happening.
Yeah. So we have... we have several events all within walking distance for the whole day, as Piercing HQ is just down the street from the 86, and that's also the same day that the Laird Hotel is doing their mixed gender open day.
Ah, yes.
So when people go to a workshop or two, they can take a break at the Laird as well.
So I have a question about mixed gender. Can women be in this competition?
Absolutely. In fact, Australia is the only country that all social groups are all inclusive to all genders and sexualities.
Awesome. And do you have any female entrants?
Sadly, not this year. Oh. We did have a few that were really interested, but they are definitely looking to compete next year. Which
come on, girls, get involved.
Yeah, totally. So you've got a Puppy 101 and then a Puppy 201 workshops. I'm assuming they're just, you know, 101 being the basics and 201 being a little bit more advanced.
Yeah, so 101 will basically go, well, this is what the kind of ideas people think pups are like, this is kind of ideas for handlers are like, these are the kind of main terminologies, just a really laid back formal way of discussing ideas and people asking questions that they want. And 201 basically is just like touching a bit deeper or a bit more, not necessarily for the just pup curious that don't only know, oh, what's all pups all got? What's all that about?
They right.
can, if those that actually are pups or want to learn more or find out more, they can go to the 201 and learn about packs and more finer points about gear. And
so are there things like etiquette? Do you talk about etiquette in those workshops?
Or? Yeah, so there, most people would call it training.
Training?
Just like you would train a bio pup.
Sure.
A biological dog. But... in the end, there aren't set rules, so it's about picking and choosing what you like or what you're interested in.
Great.
And then you've got a handler's workshop
Yep. So the Handlers Workshop is being held by our international guest, and he has won international handler titles.
Wow.
He wrote the book Woof, which is one of three published books about pup play.
Only three?
Yes.
So is this Sir Justin St. Clair?
Yes. In fact, his pup, Pup Kona, won the international pup title last year, and he's going to be our international judge next year. So we've already got people lined up for next year.
Awesome.
Well done.
Fantastic. And then you've got a gear care workshop and also a BDSM relationships workshop.
Yeah, so our VICPAR judge representative is Reese, which is Australian Bootblack, and Liam, which is the Melbourne Rubber Man. So we're going to have two title holders in the same workshop showing their tips and tricks on how to take care of your gear and if you need to do anything different for that leather pup hood you're eyeing at Eagle.
And you've got Master Pierre doing the BDSM workshop.
Yes. Yeah, so he's won leather titles in up in Queensland, and he's also a handler and has a pup. And so, yeah, so he's going to be touching more on the BDSM end, as not every pup is into BDSM or other kinks, but a lot of pups do tie into that. So it's to delve into that a bit more and how it's different for pups.
All your pups are going to be very tired by the end of this. All these workshops, by the way.
What do they get at the end as a treat?
Anything but chocolate.
And then everyone's off to the competition. And then you've got a gathering happening the next day.
Yeah, so...
on the Sunday the 21st.
Just to wind it back, but on the Saturday during the workshops at the Laird, we will have a mosh space. So there will be pups hanging out at Laird.
Cool.
And free entry there, so people can check out pups just hanging out doing their own thing. And then walk from there basically up to the 86. So that'll be the main event. And then on the Sunday is the VICPAR's Victory Mosh. So up in Splinter, which is a fetish venue in Brunswick. It's a big open space, two-story venue, and we'll have a gear market, second-hand gear market, for those that are interested in getting some things and helping fundraise VICPAR. There'll be a mosh space, which is basically a padded floor with toys and lots of couches and people to chill and chat and hang out. Yeah.
That's a great idea, because I often think secondhand gear always has a story to it.
Oh, yes.
And it's a good entry into that particular scene. I know, comparing it to the leather scene as well, where you have a story about a harness or chaps or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And
you can pick up some good bargains at those things. Yeah.
And those stories grow from each pup event. In fact, I was taking photos of a particular pup at a previous mosh, and I was taking a bunch of photos of him, and I literally took a photo a few seconds before his favourite rubber suit just tore right in half.
Oh!
And so now he's like so thankful there's all these pictures adding to the story of his gear.
And as you mentioned, there's the pup play happening, or the pup mosh pit, puppy pit on this one, is happening at the Laird. It is, of course, the Laird's on the Saturday, the 20th of May, the Laird's open house in conjunction with VICPAR and Vic Leather.
Which tickets for the main event that night and the workshops during the day will be sold at Laird as well.
Fantastic. So, of course, the open house at the Laird is open to everybody, all genders, all sexualities. Of course, you know, if you've been to one before, you know it's all a day about socialising and having sausage sizzles. But there's also a lot of fetish displays happening as well. So it's a very busy weekend.
Yes, very.
You must be exhausted putting all this on.
Yeah.
That, and you're also doing another project, which we're going to touch on as well.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
The gay and lesbian organisation of business and enterprise is Globe,
a Melbourne networking group celebrating the GLBTIQ business community.
Join Globe for their monthly business networking activities and social gatherings.
For more details, call 0427 560 973
or see globemelbourne.com.au.
A community message supported by Joy.
Fire it all.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We are chatting with Taylor about the inaugural puppet handler competition happening between the 19th and the 21st of May. So, yes, very busy weekend.
Very.
Sounds like it's going to be fantastic. But there's a lot more happening for the puppet community. As we've mentioned numerous times before on the program here, the community here in Melbourne has really exploded. But there's some work being done to understand more about the community, I understand.
Yes. So in recent years, academic research has finally begun on pup play. And so professionals in the health industry as well can understand what it means more than just going, oh, this is just some perverted thing and it's just could end up being just a repeat of the mental health issue that the gay community was faced with. So it's great to finally have research happening to help people understand it.
What are some of the questions that you ask in the survey, just some of the main ones?
So there's some pretty obvious ones like, are you a pup? Are you a handler? Do you go to events? But unlike many that goes... I'm really drawing a blank here.
That's right, but it's about finding out about I guess the demographics of who the pop
demographics
pops are.
Like what kind of gear do you have? What do you go to? What are you interested in? How does it influence your lifestyle in at home, out and about, at work, etc.
And what do they talk about mindset and getting in pup mode and things like that?
Yeah, yeah. And headspace and that with the mental side is a major element to pup play compared to other fetishes.
Yes.
So we've definitely touched on that. And it's in a completely anonymous way. We can't tell one person's information from another. And so... we're not going to go, oh, that's this person's.
Right.
And, have it leak. It's, we're keeping it very secure and tight. We've got professional data miners that's going to go through the data. And so it's all going to be all prim and proper and official.
So I'm assuming there's not that much, research into the pup community.
Oh, there is. The first, which was an exploratory study, was finally peer-reviewed and published in the it was a journal on sexual behaviour.
Right.
And it was only just published in the past few months.
Wow. Yeah. So that's really... So, yeah, this is pretty groundbreaking research.
And the last time that it appeared in some way in peer-reviewed academic research is when they designated it as a mental illness, as species dysphoria.
Really?
And that was from the 90s.
Gosh.
So what's changed since then in terms of the way that they classify it?
As far as I know, it's still classified the same way.
Right.
But the knowledge and understanding of it has definitely improved over the decades.
Sure.
And I guess, research can have different connotations for different... in different circumstances, but in this case it's not it's not bad. It's just about getting to know and understand the community, and therefore I guess in a broader sense being able to identify if there are particular things that are needed to support
community
into the future.
In the end of the research project that I'm coordinating at the moment, the end results will be available publicly for everyone to see. But that means those that run workshops and talks and discussions in the community and that want to be more active can go, there's a shortfall in awareness on these certain things, and they can put focus on it, which helps improve the community as a whole as well.
And who are the people that are doing these kind of surveys? I know you're doing one for your website and for your community, but the medical professors or whoever, where are they from?
Yeah, currently there, I personally know of a few current PhD research projects that are underway that delve into the pup community, and luckily those have gone, have come from pups finally, unlike previous research, there's been someone that knew someone and they heard about it down the grapevine and thought it'd be a good subject to explore.
Well, it sounds really interesting. So, yeah, hope get along and go to your website. As we've mentioned, pupplay.info is your website. Yep. Now, remind us again what your website's about and why you're doing it.
So my website is it's got a lot of purposes. One of them is regular discussions and articles, basically on a daily basis on a wide range of topics. I think the latest one was about pups that have got low vision issues. And we ranged topics on basically every subject out there. But it's also meant to be as an encyclopedia. So it's not about telling people, oh, this is what Pup Play is about and you've got to do it this way. It's more about, hey, look, here's a billion ideas. Yep. Pick five.
Yeah, pick the ones that you want.
Pick the ones you like and explore them. And if they don't work out, well, there's lots of more ideas out there.
That's great.
And you're getting, you've got a global community really watching and participating in that.
Oh, yeah. We've got, to be honest, I've lost track on the amount of contributors and volunteers that have worked on it. We've got articles coming out every day, and I think I wrote my last one personally for the website maybe 4 months ago.
Gosh.
So very little of the content is coming from me, which was my original intention to not be a site about my ideas. It was meant to be for the community, by the community.
And you've had quite a few responses on the survey as well already, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, so we've had well over 1,000.
Right.
I think we're close to 1,200 already, and it's only been out for 5 months, and submissions close at the end of the year.
Great.
And as we've been talking about tonight, all that will be happening, well, all that sort of sense of community will be, of course, happening at your big weekend coming up between the 19th.
End up becoming already the largest pup event in the country ever, and it's only the first time it's happening.
Now, you mentioned before you've got several competitors.
Yes.
If I'm a pup listening tonight, or if I'm looking at your website tomorrow, am I able to put my hand up yet? Is it or
sadly,
is it too late?
Sadly, registrations closed last week.
Oh.
And since it's less than a fortnight away, sadly, we had to concrete things in so we can plan all the finer details.
Fair enough.
And what if I'm someone who's interested and wants to go to a workshop? How do I do that?
Yeah, so on the competition website, which is aphc.com.au, there is descriptions. There's basically all the information you need on what each event is about, and there are links to ticket sales. We also have a Facebook page, which you just have to search Australian Pup and Handler Competition, and all the events will show up there. You can buy tickets. There's still spaces available. For workshops in particular, we do have very strict numbers.
Sure, of course.
So we don't have a stadium's worth of space. But, it's set to be still very busy, very kink-friendly and open to all sorts of ideas and concepts.
Wonderful.
Taylor, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
And all the best for Australia's inaugural pup and handler competition. Don't forget, aphc.com.au is where you can go. Also, check out the Hide and Seek social media accounts. We've got links up there already.
We do indeed.
Taylor, thanks again.
Cheers, thanks.
And that's been it for Hide and Seek for this evening. Now, Tim, we're going to be ending the show very shortly with a song, but that's because somebody's passed away.
Yes, it's very sad. Robert Miles is one of the pioneers of the trance movement. His song Children came out in 1995 as what they called at the time Dream State. So trance didn't actually have the name trance back then, but they just wanted something calm at the end of a festival so the punters didn't go wild and cause drunken brawls. So he came up with this kind of chill out music, and unfortunately he died at age 47 in Ibiza.
Gosh.
But no cause has been announced as yet.
Okay.
So you can use your imagination there, perhaps.
All right. Well,
but
we'll be ending.
Sad.
You can't. Anyway, so we're ending the show with Children tonight. Special request from Tim, and no doubt you're on your other program. You might have something on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to be crying into my microphone
on Beats.
Yeah.
Which is what Saturdays at
11 p.m.
There we go. Because I don't think we've plugged that before.
I know we have a podcast now as well. I'm going to plug that too.
Well, first of all, you're going to plug the Hide and Seek podcast, which are, of course, available at joy.org.au. All of the links to our social media are up there as well.
Yes.
Don't forget to join us next week. It is, of course, Radiothon 2017. We still need Joy. We need you to become a member during our program next week. And
we still don't have equality. That is why we need Joy.
Exactly. So until next week, where we're going to have, obviously, as our normal madcap, unbelievably stupid radiothon program.
We're going to auction off Ben.
We are going to be auctioning off Ben. So save up your pennies. this has been Hide and Seek for another week. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.